the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
KD2FHI.
KD2FHI listening.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
KD2FHI, KD2KNH.
Is that right, KD2KNH? This is KD2FHI.
Good morning, how you doing today? Name is Charlie.
Oh yes, that name sounds familiar. Hey Charlie, this is Jim. I'm doing good. I just left David Cemetery in Elmont. A good friend of mine was buried there, 2016. And, I try to get there every couple of months. He was a very, very good friend. So, but it's always good to go and just talk, even though I don't get any answers. But it's good for the soul. Over.
Absolutely. I do the same, but I don't actually physically go to the location. But we all have our traditions. I'm sorry to hear about the loss. Tough to lose a friend, family member, anybody. That's, important in your life.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. Well, it's just life goes on, but it's important to remember the legacies of these people because they still live within you. Just passing film.
All right, well, I just arrived, and I'm going to be getting back to you, so I just wanted to say hello. Maybe we'll talk again. Got to run. Working. It's Monday. 82 KMH clear, 73 Allison out.
Oh, roger that. I woke up this morning and the brain was in another zone. It wasn't at work, but... yeah, Charlie, nice to have a quick one with you. K2KNH, this is KD2FHI. 73 is to you. I'll be on the side listening.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Foxtrot Alpha. Wonderful. This is Charlie. Anybody out there today? KC2. That's not safe. Affordable. Okay, nothing hurt. Thank you, do FFA. Clear.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
N2YYC.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
WB2EAV, listening. WB2EAV, listening.
Well, here is WHCDL transmitting, or sending, or something like that. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing good. I have returned from a week-long banishment to the wilderness.
Yeah, I figured that you were away with some kind of adventure. Very good. Did you have a good time?
Oh, you know, I went to a Boy Scout summer camp for a week. It was superlative. They finally got it right. And the Boy Scouts I was with got it right, too, so it was quite a great experience. Had a bit of an issue coming home with another car, and I had to stay and help, so it was a long trip home, but it worked out as well as can be hoped. So it was just an annoyance. It could have been a nightmare, but it was just annoying.
Where do you go on these excursions? Or where did you go on this last one?
This last one. You know where Interstate 84 crosses the Delaware at Port Jervis? Go about another 30 miles, turn right, and go on Evansville. Or Rose for a little while.
So you're out, I'm thinking what, that's in 84. Where's 84 again? I gotta look at the map. Oh, Port Jervis? Okay. Okay, very good. There happens to be a flea market this weekend up in Greenbush. I gotta remember the name. Greenbush, New York? Not far from Albany, you know where that is?
I'm somewhat familiar with Greenbush, and I have been to Albany many times, so I have a pretty good idea of where it is, but I can promise you I have no intention of going. But as far as what I said before, basically, Newport Services, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania meet, you go 30 miles due west, and you're within a free drive. Earlier in July, I went up into the Catskills, if you know Route 17, by Livingston Manor.
I know 17. Isn't that, when you say Catskills, when I used to go to the hotels upstate, you know, the Grossingers and the Pines and the Stevensville, the Tamarack and all those, that's near, where was that near? I gotta remember now. I'm talking about the 90s. I think it's near Ellenville.
Yeah, Ellenville, there were a batch of them. I mean, they're all basically gone now. Ellenville is the first batch. Kayamisha / Monticello is the second batch, about 20 miles further up. And you go up another 20 miles still further up to Livingston Manor, where there never were any hotels. And that's where the first Boy Scout camp is, so I spent a week in each this summer, which is unusual. I haven't spent 2 weeks in summer camp for quite a few years now.
Yeah, Kayamisha Lake, I know that. Yep, I've been, yeah, that's that area. You're very good. So when you, so what do you physically do up there? When you're with the Scouts, what activities do you do? Do you go boating? Do you go fishing? Do you go swimming? Do you go hiking? Do you go sailing? Or anything in between?
When you use the word you, do you mean you in the general sense or me in a specific sense? They're very different.
Well, you, you as a specific sense, in a specific sense, what do you do? Other than the Boy Scouts, what's your job?
All right. Comparing it to a regular camp, the adult leaders are basically the bunk counselors. Each troop gets a campsite. Now, this is a group that camps, they work together all the time. I mean, you know, I go to meetings Thursday. I often talk to my way back from on Thursday nights from the meetings of the same group. We had a campsite, and I and another adult are the bunk counselors. During the day, the kids, it's almost like college. They sign up for courses like small boat sailing, swimming, basketry, life saving, you know, all kinds of various Boy Scout type stuff. One of them, well, two of them, are pistol shooting and shotgun shooting. Of course, I am certified to teach them. During that period, I was helping out on those locations as a, you know, assistant instructor.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So you are an instructor in one of these specific fields of activity that the Boy Scouts do. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't picture you doing everything, you know, like swimming and basket weaving and whatever it is, whatever else. You just stick to what you are trained in, and then you teach the scouts what you know amongst the other leaders. So how many, a number of questions. Actually, I'm just pulling up to my parking lot here, and I'm going to have to go, but I'll catch you next time, because I'm just curious about this. I was never into scouting, but I'm interested in it. Too bad I can't, maybe I can become an instructor on teaching radio or electronics or something. that would be interesting. Teach the scouts to become hams, especially for public service. I mean, you know what's going on in Haiti. I don't know if they're setting up another camp there that they did last time in 2010. Where my friend was down there, and he coordinated the whole operation to get communications back to the estates. I don't know what's happening this year so far, but I know that they're in desperate need. So the hams are going to come. Hopefully, the hams will come through again.
I really don't know what's going on in Haiti. I have the same question. But regarding the Boy Scout camp, don't waste your time. K2KMB, W2OSR, and I are all certified to do that. And I can tell you, the boys have basically zero interest. I wish it was different, but I've given up. But no, when it comes to rifle and shotgun, it is not a legal state-issued license, but it's pretty close. You have to have a certification. You have to take training courses. And it is by no means a walk in the park. But the difference is, I know these subjects, you know, cold turkey. I know them like I know ham radio. And so I feel I can be a valued contributor. And they're always short-handed, so they always appreciate an extra hand, especially if you're fully certified.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. That's a definite plus. Yeah, of course you have to be certified. By the way, I'm parked. I'm going to go. You said something about the response to Haiti. You know what happened there, I think. Do you?
Well, all I know is the latest catastrophe. This week's catastrophe was a major earthquake with about 1,300 known deaths so far and climbing. I don't think there's anything more to know than that, and if there is, I don't know it.
No, that's what I wanted to mention, if you didn't know. because you were busy with the scouts, I wasn't sure if you were listening to the news over the weekend. It happened Saturday. Yeah. For the second time. This was actually a bigger earthquake than the one in 2010. Yeah, it's really sad. All right, I'm parked. I'll continue the discussion next time.
I've been home since Saturday, 6:30 p.m. to be precise. And yeah, I'm pretty much aware of what you're saying. And I did hear earlier today something, an offhand comment, saying that this one may not be as bad as the last one, because in a lower population density area, so of course that brings us up to the best. Alright, I'm also parked. I expect to come at the supermarket. I should be back in the car in about an hour. With that, do enjoy. I should be around. I have no plans to go anywhere for a good while. With that, WB2EAV clear.
Alright, very good. And okay on being home then. Alright, take care. I'm going into the place of business. See you later, WHCDM.
You enjoy WB2EAV.
W2VL repeater.
WB2YMC mobile listening.
Kilo Delta 2, Foxtrot Hotel India listening.
Good afternoon, this is WB2YMC.
WB2YNC, is that right?
QSL, Whiskey Bravo 2, Yankee, Mike, Charlie. Name is Brian.
Oh, okay, Brian, how are you? This is Jim, KD2FHI. And I'm just heading east here on the 495, just before the clear view.
Good afternoon, Jim. Only give me here for a few minutes, a little bit. I just came from there. I just came from Manhattan. Traveled all the way back to Syosset. Dropped off a parcel and then went back to my office right now in Uniondale. So I've been all over the place. The LAE was backed up as usual, you know, the same nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I know. I'm right at that travel time sign. Let's see, what do they say? 35 minutes to 135, but they usually don't go that way. I'll go down the clear view and then hit to either the GCP if it's moving, or I'll get on the hillside and take that to the Cross Island and then go down because I'm in Massapequa.
Yeah, I've tried every which way, and you know, the GPS tells you to get off and go to the Clearview and then go to the Grand Central. You end up, you know, switching and going back and forth. You end up saving about 6 minutes. So I found, I mean only recently, the best thing is just to stay on the LIE and stay in the middle lane or the third lane and just travel around with everybody else, and that's it, rather than drive yourself crazy. It's not worth it to me anymore to save 6 minutes and make all those changes. I just figured, all right, I'll get there 6 minutes later. What's the big deal?
Yeah, that's a very valid point. Me, I just, like, I can't sit still. I can't keep braking all the time. So if I can move, I'll move. But yeah, it's not the 6 minutes. It's more the peace of mind that I had an effect on my own travel, I suppose. But, myself, I was in Brooklyn taking care of business, and now I'm heading back to my home office and see if I can get some other things done, and then call it a day. Maybe if it doesn't rain, which I don't think it's supposed to, I'll hop in the pool, over.
Nothing to myself. Yeah, I picked up a little time. I used to one half dozen of the other.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back. I don't have a home office. I work out of my office in Uniondale. Beautiful Uniondale. And I'll go there for probably an hour and a half, and then I'll get out of there. I just gotta make some phone calls and check up on things. I was in the office this morning and I left, came back. So, hectic, busy. And the MIE going in was great. It was, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes. I was in and out. And I was right by the bridge, right by the tunnel. I get off the tunnel, out of the tunnel, and it's like two blocks right around the corner, so that wasn't too bad. And headed back. So, crazy day. Yeah, you know, everyone's supposed to be away these 2 weeks, but I still feel the traffic. God, I don't have to depend on that. I'm an HVAC contractor. I actually have a job that somebody wants me to do in Greenwich, which is actually way out of my territory, but I'd rather do that. I'm considering doing that as a one-hit thing than Manhattan. Manhattan's just too much to deal with. And I was looking on the map. Greenwich is actually closer than Riverhead. So if we can coordinate and it's lucrative enough, I may do that, may consider it. But I'm 95% Nassau County, so I'm kind of spoiled.
Yeah, I could say you could be. Well, most of my work lately, for the last couple of years, has been in Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan. I do work up in the Bronx. I rarely do anything out in Staten Island. It's But that's the nature of my client base. That's where they are. So, and the hospitals out here on Long Island, it's very old school. So, I had done some work with Stony Brook, Nassau Medical Center, but there's a different network out here. So, I haven't been able to bust into that. But in the city, I've done very well. So, stick with what I know. And I've been doing it for so many years, so it'd be kind of silly to walk away from that now. I still got plenty of years left in me to work. Retirement is not in my lexicon at this particular moment. So, what can I say?
Oh, I hear you. No, I'm on the other side of the mountain. Maybe another year or two, I think. I don't know. I can call the shots, but, I don't know. I'm getting kind of burnt out. And there's only so much, but you know, the only problem is there's only so much ham radio you can do and golf you can do, and, you know, I get bored pretty easily, so I want to try and keep active. So we'll see. To be determined. All right, I'm a block or two away from the salt mines here. Let me go and see what's going on, check up on everybody. Have a good afternoon. I'll catch you down the log. Have a good afternoon, Jim. WB2YMC, 73.
Yes, WB2YNC. Yep, Bill, Brian, thank you. I know. I got a ton of hobbies. Although I have to say, my wife's been pretty good about that. You know, I love to shoot. I go play golf. I love fishing. I like ham radio. I've really gotten into that. I also play an instrument, and, you know, so I got plenty of things to do when that day of semi-retirement, because I'll never be fully retired, but semi-retirement comes. I won't be bored, but, yeah, I kind of go through my phases with certain things, but, yeah, 73 to you, nice QSO, and I'll catch up with you at another time. Have a great day and a nice afternoon. This is KD2, FHI, 73, and be on the side listening.
Alpha Juliet 2, Alpha Kilo.
KD2 FHI, can you come back? I barely heard you. Over.
Alpha Juliet 2, Alpha Kilo.
Okay, you have Jim, this is KD2 FHI. What's going on?
Not much, Jim. My name is John. I'm in Farmingdale, New Long Island. And I'm just got home from work and decided to see you, John, where I could talk to you for a couple of minutes. And that's about it. We're just going to talk to you right now before I decide to do something else.
Yeah, you got a very strong hiss in the background, so it's kind of hard making you out, making out rather your audio. But that's just a FYI. I'm just traveling down the Cross Island here, heading back from the city. Going back to my home office and see what else I could do today before I call it quits. That's about it, really. Nothing terribly exciting. It's a Monday. Finally got my head into work, so just catching up now, I guess. Back to you.
How's my audio now? I have my my mag mount on top of my AC unit in my bedroom. So that may have been affecting it.
Well, you certainly were much more audible that time. Yeah, the hiss has gone down, I'd say about 50%, so I could certainly hear you now. Yeah, so you're at home, is that it? Or you're out? Because you said mag mount. I'm assuming you have it on top of something that's magnetic. Or it's magnetic and it's on top of something that's metal. Well, in any case, what's new? Anything?
No, I do. I have my mag mount on top of my in window air conditioning right now. So that's how I'm getting to the computer. No, not just trying to stay cool from the heat and relax. I just got home from work and that's about it. I got some stuff I have to do, but I really don't want to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the mag mount on the air conditioning would give you a little bit of a hit. It's a Monday. I don't want to call it a manic Monday because it was successful. I got some things done and a client happy, so I'm happy. But other than that, it's like the dog days of August. It's humid. It's 86 degrees. I'm in the air conditioning of my car, but I know when I get out, I'm going to hit me right in the face. Humidity. Just thinking about everything else that I got to do. The news these past couple of days have been horrible, so I won't get into that. It's just the way things are, I'm afraid, these days. Back to you, Bill, I think that you said, right? This is Jim, KD2FHI.
It's KD2UAH, mobile, I'm listening on the side.
I hear you. Welcome. Jim. My name's John. And I work outdoors, so I hate the summer. And I'm the type of person who sweats when it's above 70 degrees, so it just sucks for me.
Yeah, sorry, John. For some reason, I thought you said Bill earlier. I guess the hiss was clogging my ears. The other station, why don't you pick it up? This is KD2FHI.
KD2FHI, this is KD2UAH Mobile. I was monitoring before, and I heard you were talking about Greenwich versus Riverhead. I do the drive from Nassau County. Time-wise, you'll get to Riverhead in half the time because of the traffic going up to Greenwich. Back to you.
Yeah, well, it wasn't me doing that trip. It was the other gentleman who was doing that, and he thought that it was a quicker ride going to Greenwich. I don't know, Riverhead is... It's just a totally different type of road, first of all. But, that's something, either one I wouldn't want to do, to be frank with you. There's enough business where I'm at that I don't need to do those sort of things. But, you go where the dollar is, I suppose. All right, I'm going to give it to John. This is Jim, KD2FHI.
How are you doing? What kind of business are you in?
Was that question directed to me? I'm in the office furniture business. I sell furnishings, mainly office and medical furnishings, to hospitals and also colleges, SUNY colleges. So. Well, my business primarily is dealing with the government. Over.
Well, I work for the New York City Department of Sanitation. And what about the...
The other station listening, you want to pick up?
By the way, my name is... ...line of business. business, I guess. I'm in the dental business, so, equipment is always a problem. It's always breaking down. It's always expensive. It's always stuff that we have to keep buying. Back to you guys.
Go ahead, John. I thought I heard you say PSE&G. Is that who you work for?
No, the New York City Department of Sanitation.
Fellas, I'm going to have to say 7-3, KD2, TIH, I believe it was. This is KD2, UAH mobile, and I'm clear for now. 7-3, guys.
Roger that, UAH. This is KD2FHI. 73s, catch you last down the log. John, you said sanitation. All right, I'm with you now. Yeah, that's an outdoor job. Not much going on inside, right?
Nope, nobody keeps their garbage inside, so have to pick it up on the outside, unfortunately.
A living, and actually, you know, I give those guys a tip of my hat. I live in Massapequa, and they are, well, you're part of Town of Oyster Bay too, because you're in Farmingdale. They are relentless. No matter what the weather is, and no matter what you put outside, I have no complaints about our sanitation. They do a wonderful, wonderful job.
Well, I only have one complaint about the Long Island County. Me and my wife bought our house 5 years ago. We bought a big barbecue. And the first time we used it, we got a note left on it saying we can't use it because it's too big. So, unfortunately, that I would like to have that rule in New York City, but that's not going to happen. There's too many people who have big hands, and they don't want to change it.
Well, somebody's got to pick it up, and I can understand their thoughts about that one. I think the only note that I've ever gotten, and I've only had a couple of notes, we've lived there for 30-something years, is I have one larger waste can, and it's plastic, but it's big. It's like 55 gallon. I always put a bag in it. I never, let it go in raw, or however you coin it. But it's too big, according to them. You know, the highest I could have is a 33 or a 32. But the funny thing is, the 32 that I have is made out of that recycled plastic, those green things. They're heavy. It's much heavier than the other one. But apparently that's okay. They're all right with it. That's the only oddity that I see in the whole thing.
Well, unfortunately, in Queens, where I work, they overstuff them, and some of these pails weigh way more than they should, and it's just backbreaking sometimes, and nobody gets a ticket or anything for that, and it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, and I can imagine the volume in Queens is far outgoes what's happening out on Long Island in terms of just the volumes of trash. So I could see that, you hear about a lot of guys in sanitation getting hurt backs. You know, it's a repetitive thing. You keep doing that all day long, even if it's for 4 hours at a clip. You're gonna hurt yourself. It's repetitive. It's like carpal tunnel, but it happens to your back.
Oh, I've seen guys who retired after 20, 25 years. They can't walk straight. And I don't wanna be one of those guys. So I'm hoping to be supervisor soon so I can just drive around and make sure that people are doing their jobs. That's about it. I'm up there in age and I don't wanna be doing this at 65.
Let's see, well, I have to say, onto another subject, I was very disturbed this morning when I was watching the news, and this isn't even a political statement, this is just a humanity statement. I don't know if you saw the news where the American troops are out of there, at least most of them. They left their staff in the embassy unprotected, and all those Afghan citizens who worked with or helped the American armed forces to fend for themselves is without a doubt a recipe for genocide. I can't think of a better word for that. What's your thoughts on that, John?
AJ2AK. I personally don't believe that we should have been there 30 years ago. But that's not for me to say. This has been a disaster waiting to happen decades ago. And when somebody asks for help, and then you give it to them, and they depend on that help, they're dependent on that help, I should say. And then you all of a sudden say, all right, bye-bye. A catastrophe will happen. This has been predictable for years now. If this continues, I just say that this was preventable.
Well, you're right. The first rule, I would think, in a combative situation is you don't tell your enemy what you're going to do. It's just common sense. And unfortunately, whoever is ahead of this cabal that we call an administration, that they either have no clue of military activity in any way, shape, or form, or this is being done by design, and they have no regard for any of the Afghans, at least those who don't go along with the Taliban, and they're more than happy to see this just fall apart like it is. The sad thing is that A, no one learned any lessons from Saigon, and B, what's your next call? What's your next act? Are you going to have to go back and get your embassy out of there? Do we have to have another Iran to have everyone wake up and see exactly what's going on here? It's a terrifying event to watch. I couldn't believe watching all those thousands of people running at the airport towards the military side, the American military side of the commercial airport. It was fascinating in a very disgusting, disheartening way. I don't know how else to express it. It's just madness, real madness.
Well, I think that they've depended on us for too long, and not to say that, you know, they need to depend on themselves. and unfortunately they didn't, and just used up whatever power that we could, whatever power we had, and whatever we could use from them, and there was no reason for us to stay, but there could have been a better way to do this, and like you said, don't tell your enemies what you're doing, and make sure that the people you're leaving behind can take care of themselves. That's what I think.
Oh, ditto. You're absolutely correct. And that didn't happen. And that's the sinful part of all this, is that they didn't make sure none of that was taken care of. And I fear for those people. I really do. The Taliban has proven to be a vicious group of people. And those poor souls, they gave their, literally took their life into their own hands by helping the Americans. And now they're left for naught. It's a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. So I agree with you. You pray for them. You just hope that some of them will get out and be able to survive all this. But I think this is just the beginning, and I'm afraid it's not gonna turn out well, not at all. But it's all over. Everything's all over. I mean, it's just all over everywhere. That's why I don't watch the news in the morning. It just drives me nuts. Back to you. This is KD2FHI.
Well, look at the stories about the people who helped our troops for the last 20 years. They were told that if they helped, that they would get emergency vehicles to come over here when things calm down and we were done over there. And it took, 20 years for that to happen? And it's still half-assing around with that. It's just terrible. My view of us being in other countries is not popular. Because I don't believe that we should just go to other countries and show people how to live and then just leave. If you're gonna show people how to live, you gotta stay there. If you're not gonna do that, leave the people alone.
Yeah, that's true. Two things that didn't happen here. One, this was never fought to be won. It was fought to be a police action. Again, a lesson that we should have learned from Vietnam. And you can't be in the, excuse me, you can't be in the government changing business. It never works. Look at England's history. Look at Spain's and France's history. It never, ever works. And now, different cultures, different perspectives, different ways of looking at things. You can offer them the assistance, but culturally they're different. They just see us. They see themselves in a different light. And I think those were follies that we had committed in the beginning of all this. And then it was left for other people to figure it out. Back to you.
AJ2AJ. I blame the political parties from after World War II, because when communism started spreading, everybody was up in arms, like, oh, we can't let communism spread, so we have to go out and teach people that democracy is the way to do it. And it's like, you can't. If people choose
to be one way or the other in a country other than your own, you should have nothing to say about it. Protect your own country and run it like you should, but leave other countries alone, and whatever government they choose to have, you're going to have to deal with it. And, you know, don't say that, you know, my government is better than your government, because that's when animosity and bad things happen.
Well, sovereignty is an important thing, and each government has to have their own sovereignty. The problem with, that whole Afghanistan thing, as we all know, the foothold of the 9/11 attacks came from there. And, you know, when you're fighting a war, I mean, typically it's a political war and not a fanatical war. And we were taking our political processes, if you will, against a fanatical entity. And that's a very hard war to fight. And then the people, of course, because there's no capital. There's no capital of fanaticism. It's the people. The people hide among the normal people. People who don't think like that. It really becomes a hellhole. And it's either you wipe them all out, or you just say, look, stay away. We'll just bomb the hell out of you again. And, you know, this will just keep going back and forth. It's a very, it's tough, and you're right. You're taking away the sovereignty from people who otherwise had nothing to do with what had happened on 9/11.
A really good movie that I've watched, I don't know if you've watched it, Charlie Wilson's War, and it involves a senator, I believe, that has a partier, and he was close to retiring or being voted out or something like that, so he wanted to be known for something meaningful, and he was at a party or in a hotel or whatever, and he was watching the news about the Russians in Afghanistan, and this is how it all started. We helped the Afghans to... And this is how Osama bin Laden got his mantra for having animosity to the U.S. break. Osama bin Laden was a cousin of someone in Saudi Arabia. So when the Russians got kicked out, Osama asked his relatives in Saudi Arabia to help kick the U.S. out of Afghanistan. And they wouldn't, obviously, because of the oil ties that we have with them. So he got disenchanted with them, and he said, all right, I'll do it my way. And that's how that whole 9/11 thing started with Osama bin Laden.
Referring to the Mujahideen and all them who we were supplying weapons to fight against Russia. It's a vicious cycle, and it all goes back to that part of the world. You have with Lebanon and the fighting that Lebanon was going through with Beirut and everything, and you don't hear about that so much anymore. Then you have Syria, and then Syria with the line in the sand and all that stuff, and you're not hearing too much about that now. It just jumps from one patch of sand to another patch of sand, and